Once in a while, I take a little step aside from quilting and I feature an up-and-coming creator in, I'd say, a quilt-adjacent niche. Today, we'll hit the topic of sewing, fashion, and do-it-yourself with Tiffany Turner of Tipstitched. Hello and welcome to the Quilter on Fire podcast, where I explore the stories, the connections, and the joy of guests in the quilting world. But today we'll be talking sewing, fashion, and do-it-yourself. I'm your host, Brandy Maslowski, the Quilter on Fire, and I can't wait to share this week's episode with you. So here we go. My guest today is Tiffany Turner of Tipstitched. She is a talented sewist with a background in civil engineering. She has a step-by-step methodical nature in sharing what she creates that really works for a YouTube audience. She has a popular blog and social media presence that hits the important topics like cost-effective sewing, custom-made clothing to fit you, and using technology to your advantage. It's not so scary. So let's explore the story of Tiffany Turner. Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brandy, for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is going to be so much fun. I love broaching a topic that's just a little outside the comfort zone of quilters. But, you know, I've interviewed people in the past who are sewists, and they've said quilting might be outside their comfort zone sometimes. So it's great to stretch our boundaries, right? So I want to start by taking a little look back at where you got started. So when do you first remember putting stitch to fabric?
I was a very latecomer to sewing. I sewed for the very first time in 2013 because I was getting married and I had bought not really a wedding dress, but a white dress I was using as a wedding dress from offline. And the lining had a small hole in it. And though you couldn't see it, I had the feeling that it needed to be fixed. So I stole my mother's or borrowed my mother's sewing machine to stitch it closed. I don't know why I thought I could do that. I had never touched a sewing machine in my entire life. I didn't know how to thread the thing. God it was a lining is all I can say about that. And then I didn't touch it again for another year until I thought, well, you know, maybe I could make my own clothes. I don't know. Might as well give it a try. And that is when my mother actually lost that sewing machine. I still have it. She never got it back. And I've been sewing ever since.
Okay, so I met you at QuiltCon recently in the AccuQuilt booth, and your business goes by the name of Tipstitch. So tell me a little bit behind the name. What's the name all about?
I was not super creative. My name is Tiffany. Some of my friends call me Tip. And I thought Tip Stitched was a cute play on top stitch, which is a sewing technique. I had like a whole memo pad full of names. I originally went by a different name and then switched. But I like Tip Stitch. My only regret is adding the ED. Like I should have just did Tip Stitch. But my thought was Tip Stitched It, which at the time made sense.
Yeah. It's easy to find. So you have the same name on the Instagram and on all the different platforms, I guess?
The good thing is that the different from my actual legal given name, for some reason, I have been able to find Tipstitched on everything. IG, YouTube. If something comes up, I just go ahead and pull it now. But I was lucky enough in the beginning it was available on everything.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what do you bring to the world with your biz in your sewist biz in a nutshell?
I like to think that I mainly provide inspiration. I started off my blog by simply sharing the items that I had sewn for myself, because at the time I really didn't know any other sewists in real life. And it had actually been something that I'd thought about in the back of my mind for years, but always thought it was something that like only old ladies did or something. I don't know. It just seemed like a not attainable goal. And then once I really got into it, I was like, everyone should sew. So I need to show them what's possible. You can make fashion forward clothing. You can make it fit your body. You can make exactly what you want. And so my idea was if I could share what I had made, then hopefully it would inspire somebody else to pick up a sewing machine.
Yeah. And your blog is so great. This is like really the main content you bring to the world. You're really consistent on there. You have full features. So can you tell us a little bit about how your different platforms kind of work together? Because you're everywhere. You're on YouTube, you're on Instagram, and then you have that full feature blog.
So I started off with the blog. And like I said, I primarily did that to document my makes for myself. as my own like sewing journal that just happened to be public, but I also wanted to inspire others to sew. So that's really where I started, as just being a blogger. From there, you know, new social media sites evolved, and I always tried to be active on all of them. So I like to use Instagram sort of as an extension of the blog, where I show and talk about the makes, or maybe I show a few teasers while I am sewing up a project. And then I try to use YouTube as more of like an informational or community-like space, where I'm sharing information with others, whether it's patterns that are coming out or like a sew along or something like that. And then TikTok is where I just have a little bit of fun, although I'm probably on TikTok the least. And Facebook sort of is an extension of the blog as well. So I'm trying to do better about differentiating what content goes on which app, but it's a little bit of a free-for-all.
Yeah. Well, the blog really is the place to go for you. So if people are listening right now, where can they go to find that blog?
It is tipstitched.com, TIPSTITCHED.com.
Okay. And so where are you living now, and who are your loved ones that you share your world with every day?
So I am in the Atlanta metro area. It's me, my husband, and my two kids, and a recent, somewhat recent, I guess about a year and a half, addition of a rescue doggy. So that is my household. The kids are now into their late teens. One's through with high school, one's about to be through. So we're knocking on the door of being empty nesters.
Ah, sounds like a busy household.
It is. Active kids.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these wonderful designs that you come up with on your blog. So when you see something in the world that sparks an idea, how do you capture that? Are you pencil to paper? Do you take photos? Do you go straight digital and start designing?
So two things can either happen. Either I see it in my mind's eye and I don't waste time sketching it. I just immediately sort of take it to the sewing machine. But sometimes for my more complicated ideas, or if I'm having competing ideas, I do digitally sketch them to try to decide what's the best use of my fabric or time, because I don't like making things twice. So I usually try to plan it out that way. And digitally is easier for me because I don't have any actual artistic talent for actually drawing it, but I can manipulate the computer to do what I need it to do.
Yeah, that sounds so good. And if you're listening right now, I really encourage you to go to the blog, because there are gorgeous photos of all kinds of clothing and projects. And I was scrolling through it, and one of my absolute favorite projects that I saw you do was the floral jumpsuit McCall's 8069. I just love that. I like think, okay, I got to make that for my trip to Barcelona. I really want to make that outfit. But so that tells me that you also make other people's designs, and it's just such a great feature, because it's something you love. You're making it to fit your body, and it makes it really seem achievable for everyone, right?
Exactly. And I think that's the interesting point you bring up about the jumpsuit. That one is fairly loose fitting, and I do love that one. That's a fairly recent made. I made that last year. But I never wore jumpsuits prior to sewing my own clothes, because they never fit. And I think a lot of women or people have a problem with that, because something that fits up top won't fit up the bottom. Some people have a longer torso, some people have a shorter torso. But if you custom make your clothes for yourself, you can make it to fit you. And so opening up a world of jumpsuits changed my life. Like, I have so many jumpsuits now.
Yeah, I love it. I was just scrolling through there, and there's so many. The swimsuit is gorgeous. Like, there's so many fun projects. What was the Black Barbie challenge? Tell me about that one.
So Carmen, or CAG the Mag, or CAG Reinvented, depending on which social media you're looking at, has a network called the Black Sewing Network. And so she wanted to do a feature of a Black Barbie challenge. It was right when the Barbie movie dropped. And her challenge was to make something in pink using a pattern of a Black designer. Uh-huh. And yeah, so that's how we got there with that one, because I really wasn't planning on making a pink swimsuit, but it fit the needs of the challenge.
Yeah, that's so fun. And also, if you're scrolling through the blog, you can see things like spring 2023 wrap up. So that's kind of a compilation post, right?
Yes. So typically how I approach my seasons is I try to come up every season with a digital sketch board of the items that I want to make for the coming season. Yeah. Then I try to sew everything that I can that season. And then at the end of the season, I like to do a recap to just show what I actually made, because my vision list is always way longer than the time that I have to sew. So I start with ideas, I make them, and then I do a recap of everything that I made.
Yeah, that's so fun. And I think that's one of the fun things about fashion is that there's all the different seasons and there, you know, there's events that happen throughout the year that are fun for fashion, and you can always have brand new ideas coming. So when we were talking earlier, when we were planning for this podcast, you mentioned something that really stuck in my mind, and you said that your goal is to get everybody to sew. So why is that important to you?
What I find interesting is when you tell someone that you sew, or, you know, if someone, you know, we can't resist. If someone says, oh, I love your dress, and you're just like, oh, I made it, you know, their first thought is, oh, you know, you're so skilled or you're so talented. And I take it as the compliment that it is. But sewing is something I think everyone can accomplish. Yeah. It's something that maybe you have a knack for and someone else may not. You know, someone may have to work a little bit harder at it. It may come naturally to some. But I do think it's a skill that can be achieved if you want to do it enough, which is different to me from like art or singing. You either have a voice or you don't. I can't sing. There's nothing anybody that can do to make me sing. That's a talent. Sewing to me is more of a skill. Now you can be talented at it. And I think it would be great if everyone could sew, regardless of if it's apparel or quilting or just sewing the button back on to your pants or sewing a new hem. Just the fact that you could make your clothes fit you or items for your home that you want that are your style, where you don't have to depend on retail items to fill that need for you. I just think it would be wonderful.
Yeah, everybody can do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about, you know, are you balancing education and career and then this is your side gig, or are you doing sewing full time? What's your balance there?
How I wish I could sew full time. No, I am an engineer by day. So I do have a 9-to-5, 40-hour-a-week job that I also focus on. Again, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a fur mom. So yeah, there's always something being juggled in my life. And the trick is just sort of trying to figure out how not to lose yourself while you're doing everything else. And sewing is definitely something that I do just for me.
Yeah. Do you kind of use it as your creative escape?
It is definitely my creative escape. There have been times in the past where it has turned into a side hustle, because if my hobby can pay for itself, I'm very excited. So I do try to do that to a certain extent, but not to the extent that it feels like it's a job and it's not that release, that artistic release. So it's a fine line to balance, but I try.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk community. You obviously have a wonderful presence on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and with the blog. So tell me about how you interact with your community. I remember chatting with you about something to do with sew-alongs with the Black Sewing Network.
Yes. So I have tried to do more. When I initially started sewing, I was definitely heads over heels in love with it, and I was everywhere and anywhere. I got a little burnt out. Then the pandemic happened and all of us got a little distracted. But jumping back into that, I really am focused more on doing the community. So it's about being seen, it's about uplifting others, and it's about, you know, motivating others to join along with us. So I'm trying to do that again on the blog and social media by sharing my makes, engaging with the Black Sewing Network when they're having sew along, or they do live sews on TikTok or YouTube a lot. Those are really fun. So Carmen, again, the founder of that, is really good about pushing us all to get outside of our boundaries and out of our comfort zones, which is great. But I'm also really trying to work on my YouTube and my blog about doing more to inspire, encourage, and give resources to new sewists. So I'm working on creating some directories to make easy to sew patterns easier to find, free patterns easier to find, demystify sort of some of the indie companies that make sewing patterns, as well as doing some sewing how-to and sewing lessons, beginner lessons, yeah, on sewing on YouTube. So again, I mean, that's really how I learned. I'm self-taught and I learned a lot of things from YouTube and other people's blogs. And I just want to give back in that same way.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's so important to go back and get those beginner sewing lessons because not everybody's ready to just dive in and do a project, right? So that's a lot of fun. So let's talk about your newsletter. How often do you send it out and what kind of things will we find in there?
So in my newsletter, I try to do it monthly. And the goal there is to show a recap, also give ideas, right? So like right now we're running into spring. So I'll probably include a short recap about everything I did for the first quarter, but I'm also going to give some inspiration for things you can sew for the upcoming spring season, as well as maybe highlight a few new patterns and link to any cool resources I found recently. It's just something that I like to do to engage with anybody, any of the subscribers.
Yeah. So fun. So if people are listening right now, they can go to tipstitched.com and they can find the newsletter there and they can sign up right there, right?
Yep. It's right at the bottom of the page.
Okay, great. So I want to talk a little bit about collaborations because I know you have a collaboration with AccuQuilt and yes. We're going to talk about your actual dies that you created after the break. But right now I want to know, when did you first get connected with AccuQuilt?
I was first introduced to AccuQuilt at QuiltCon 2023, so last year, because it was held in Atlanta, and that was my first time attending. And thanks to Lisa Wolfork of Stitch Please and her podcast, I was introduced to the company because she had a lounge where there was a project set up that you can use the AccuQuilt Gold, the nice electric one, to make a project. And we had a blast playing with it all day. So that was my first introduction to the product itself. And shortly after that, I was introduced to Lynn and some of the other people at AccuQuilt to talk about our collaboration.
Yeah. And I met you at QuiltCon recently and we did some fun video. So if you're interested in seeing a little bit more about Tiffany at Tipstitched, you can go to the AccuQuilt YouTube channel and you'll definitely see those features on there. So after the break, we'll talk about your new designs with AccuQuilt, but what kind of content have you been creating? Have you done any videos on your YouTube about the AccuQuilt dies?
So I have started a series or a playlist for just the AccuQuilt dies. So far, it's a little lacking. There's two videos at the moment, and that is the unboxing and just the introduction to how the die itself works, because I just wanted to start with the basics. Yeah. Because if a lot of my followers are going to be fashion sewists as well, and maybe not quilters. I mean, there's a good crossover of people who do both, but yeah. I wanted to give an initial introduction to just how the system itself works. So mm-hmm. We started there. What I'll be doing from there is probably a little bit more live and pre-recorded videos of the types of projects you can make using the dies, as well as my dies, as well as other dies. And then I want to do a live sew along of me making my first quilt block, because that's a goal for 2024.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So you've got them started, you've done the unboxing, you've unrolled how to use the AccuQuilt, and there's more to come. So that's great. Okay, so you just traveled to QuiltCon. That's where I met you for the first time to launch those new dies. So what was was that your first QuiltCon, and what was your favorite part about it?
So that was my second QuiltCon, because I did go last year when it was in Atlanta, but I really enjoyed this one. This was definitely the first one where, you know, I was doing anything. Last year was all about me just observing. So this was very interesting. And my favorite part of any of these types of cons, but especially QuiltCon, because there was more things for me to be introduced to, is just meeting other people.
Yeah.
It's always so interesting in meeting other people who have a similar passion, where you can talk about sewing nonstop and no one's rolling their eyes or tuning out because they don't care about this or that, you know? And so I really just had a blast talking with people, learning their experiences, seeing if it was their first QuiltCon, hearing their reaction to the dies, asking them whether they had an AccuQuilt cutter themselves. I mean, I barely left the AccuQuilt booth because there was always somebody new coming by, and I can't stop talking and interacting with people. So I ended up stuck in one spot for a very long time, but it was a great time.
Yeah. And we had so much fun filming and taking photos and doing all the stuff in there. So make sure you head on over to the AccuQuilt YouTube channel to find those videos that we created at QuiltCon. So over your sewing journey so far to date, has there been a project that's been most memorable for you?
There are a few, but there is one that I fluctuate probably between three, but there's one that I really do point out, because I started off, of course, with simpler patterns,
And then I finally got to the point where I made sort of like what I call a work dress, right? A really simple sort of chic fitting dress that was color blocked and it was fully lined. It had like a kick pleat in the back. It had an invisible zipper. So there were all these things that I had never done before. And it was really a challenge at the time. It was a Vogue pattern. And I sewed it up and thought it was so cute. I was so proud of it. I was showing it to everybody. I thought it was great. But maybe a year or two after that, I ran into someone at a sewing convention who told me that me in that dress is what made them start sewing. And I was ecstatic, just like, oh my God, are you serious? And she was like, yes, that blue and black dress. I remember it very vividly. She remembered the pattern number and everything. And I was like, I didn't make that dress. And that one's always going to hold. I can't fit into that dress anymore, but I still have it because it just really holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, that is so great. Okay. So in your creative space where you do your sewing, what brings you joy?
Gosh, I love everything in here. So my sewing space also spills over into other crafting space. And I think that I'm very blessed and privileged to have this space to myself. This room is just for me. I don't share it with anybody else in the family. It is the only place where I can shut the door and everyone's like, okay, don't bother her. She's in her zone. And so I just really love it for the solitude, really. It's just the place where I get to create and that just makes me happy.
Yeah, oh, that's so great. Okay, so right now we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about Tiffany's studio space. She's going to describe it to us. And then her latest designs with AccuQuilt, of course, that's what we've all been waiting for. And then maybe what's coming soon. We'll be right back. Quilters, discover the revolutionary fabric cutting system that's changing the game for quilters everywhere. AccuQuilt. Join over 400,000 quilters who have transformed their fabric cutting experience with AccuQuilt. Why do they love it? Because it speeds up their quilting process, ensures accuracy in every fabric cut, and eliminates the tedious task of cutting fabric by hand. Say goodbye to fabric waste, inaccurate cuts, and cutting curves by hand. AccuQuilt's library of more than 300 dyes has you covered. Imagine diving into your quilting projects with confidence, knowing every piece will sew together perfectly. Every design will come to life just as you envisioned, and every moment spent is on creativity, not cutting. With AccuQuilt, you're joining a maker movement where every cut is precise, every project is possible, and every quilter is empowered. AccuQuilt, fast, accurate, easy, effortless. Rediscover the joy of quilting and let AccuQuilt help you cut time so you can quilt, sew, and craft more. And we are back with Tiffany Turner. So Tiffany, can you tell us about your studio space?
So when we made the move into the home that we're in now about 3 years ago now, I put dibs on this room with the vision that I had. And sort of what I have done is broken it up into what I like to think of a work triangle. Like in the kitchen, you have the kitchen triangle with the refrigerator, the sink, and the stove. I have treated my cutting table, my fabric stash, and my sewing table as my three main elements. And I knew for a fact that those had to be in close proximity to each other. And that was really the foundation for the rest of the room. So I have a rather large, although it could be larger, cutting table that has a pegboard above it, which is just for ease of being able to grab rotary cutters, scissors, iron, whatever I need to grab really quickly. And then I have a wall that's just fabric, which is its own problem, and patterns. So I have a pattern dresser and a bookcase, if you will, of fabric. And then I have another wall that's a very long sewing table that I just got from IKEA that has both my sewing machines and my serger on them so I can get to everything quickly. And everything else sort of centers around that.
Yeah. So you are a highly educated individual with an engineering mind. So how do you feel like your engineering mind helps you or translates into your sewing practice?
For a while, I really wasn't sure that it did. And again, I didn't used to consider myself a very creative person because I've always been good with numbers and I've been very analytical. And then when I started sewing, I realized, no, some of those skills translate really well to creative things. So I think what works for me is being an engineer trained and by day is that my job is taking 2D CAD files or plans, think blueprints, if you will, and then imagining them in a 3D space. And that's really all sewing is. Sewing is taking 2D shapes and then sewing them together in a way that they become a three-dimensional item, specifically for clothing. But so the thought process is really the same. There's just a lot more curves than straight lines, but the thought process is still there. So it actually has really helped. And anybody who's tried to like come up with the diameter for a circle skirt or something knows that eventually math creeps in. I mean, even with quilting, right? Like it's all adding up the shapes to make sure that they make the right size quilt block. And so you can go from there. So there's always numbers and math involved. So the engineering has actually been a benefit.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear so many quilters over time, I've heard so many quilters say, oh, I'm terrible at math. And I say, no, you are not. Like you're quilting. You are great at math if you're quilting. But yeah, I do see a fear in some quilters where, yeah, sewing is a 3D thing that's a whole new world compared to quilting. But I think it goes back and forth. I think sometimes you hear the sewist thinking like, oh, quilting is so methodical and perfect and has to be precise. Whereas, you know, when you're creating a garment, you can wrap and stretch and ease things in and it's a little bit different, right? But
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's fun to go back and forth between those worlds and try both. I have made a few garments in my life. I made myself my own dress for the first time at Bernini University last year, and it worked out pretty well. I've never made anything with a pattern, any piece of clothing, and I decided to make this out of a dress I already owned. So I used a dress that fit me well, and I made it as a pattern. It was a simple A-frame design. It worked very well.
That is really one of the best things, because if you already have something in your closet that you know works, just sketch it, trace it off and make it again in whatever fabric that you want. I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was working quite well. And I made larger seam allowances than quarter inch, because I know in sewing you use larger seam. But where I ran into difficulty was like, how do I do these darts on the side? And then the other thing that was so difficult, I used YouTube for this. I went back again and again to YouTube, was the pockets. That was difficult for me. But I was really proud of myself in the end. I was able to make the pockets. I had Bernina fabric in there. And I had the words, they weren't upside down. They weren't inside out. It all worked out. So it took me a long time to do that, but
first projects always take a while. That's fine.
Yeah, I figured it out in the end. But I've had some fun with garment making, and I've retrofitted some jeans, and I've, you know, it's so much fun. It's really a huge sense of satisfaction when you complete something and it actually fits on your body, right?
Exactly. Yes.
That's the hard part. I mean, you if you make it too small, that's the hard part, because then you got to either add fabric. I don't know what you can do to make it bigger, but when it fits on your body, that's just such a satisfying feeling.
It's definitely what we're all chasing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the next question I love to ask every guest that I have on the podcast is, what is your favorite time of day?
Ooh, I am very much a night owl. I'm very much a night owl. I can function during the day. I can get up early if I need to, but my creative mind starts really churning probably late afternoon into the night.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so incredible that you are balancing both worlds. Well, so many worlds. You've got the work, you've got the family, you've got the pets, you've got the side gig of sewing, which is your passion. So it's incredible that you can imbalance it all. But I could see how your afternoon at work, you're starting to think, I'm going to ease into my creative zone once I get home.
Yes. And so it actually works out really well. It works out really, really well for me, because as soon as I start to wind down, the other side is winding up.
Okay. And here's another question I love to ask. What is the best thing you do for your own self-care?
Ooh, that's a good question. For me, friendship is really important. So I absolutely love spending time with my girlfriends and just sort of kicking back and just being myself and not worry about being judged. I have two really great groups of friends. Ones that I've had from grade school. And then I have another set of air quote new friends that I met in college, which was 20, we're not going to do the math, years ago. So I love any time that we can get together. it's that's some of my best time. That really replenishes my soul.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so good. You know, I haven't had that answer before. I've had a lot of different answers about how people sink into a tub, or they read books, or they do some kind of excursion, but I haven't had the friend one. And that is so important. It's so important to surround yourself with those great people, right?
It's really great. And I realized as I've gotten older, how blessed I am to have friends. You know, you think of having family, right? Because your family is already going to be there. You're born into them. Hopefully you have a good family and you have that, which I do also have that. But friends are your family that you choose, right? Yeah. And to just know that they're there continually. I mean, we've ridden through some hard times, especially my friends from grade school. I mean, I'm talking one of my best friends I've known since I was 9. She probably knows me better than I know me at this point. So it's great to have those. And even though we're all in different states, we Zoom call, we do what we need to do to get together.
Yeah, that is so great. Okay, so now I want to dive into some of the projects. We've touched on a few of the things that I've loved on the blog, but this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I met you at QuiltCon. You had just created these AccuQuilt dies, which are so cool. So tell us about the new dies that you've designed for AccuQuilt.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited about these dies. The vision really came from the fact that I do create digital sketches when I am approaching my sewing plans. And if anyone goes to the blog, they can see those or my Instagram page. And the idea sort of sprang from that, plus the nostalgia of playing with paper dolls as a little girl. And the idea just came to me of creating a paper doll that you could dress up, which is basically like taking my digital sketches, but using real fabric to do it, right? And the idea of combining the two was sort of born from that. So I got to sketching the little woman body, and then we gave her different hairstyles. So there's 4 different hairstyles to choose from. And then we started with simple pieces. So there's a dress, 2 tops, and a pair of pants that you can play with your fabric choice and dress up the dolls. So
yeah,
I just think it's so cute.
Oh, that is so fun. And anyone making a project with these dies, it's such an inclusive project because you can really make it about yourself, right? You can use the color of your own skin, the color of the skin of the child that you're making it for. It really suits everyone, right?
Yes. And I recently saw the cutest project on Instagram, where someone used the dies to create a happy birthday banner, like a large card out of fabric for a loved one. And some people, you know, made them green, like, you know, they were aliens, but they used the fabric and that was their representation of themselves. So it can really be any interpretation that you can dream up in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love the story behind them. So can you tell us a little bit about who has collaborated on making some samples for you? Because when I met you at QuiltCon, there were all these beautiful samples in the QuiltCon booth standing behind you and around you. So let's talk about some of those creators.
So I am very thankful for many of those creators because I am not a quilter in my background. So some of the wall hangings and the quilts, though I may have had a loose idea, were designed by others. So Brianna Roberts of So Cute and Quirky did a few of the wall hangings, as well as a material girl bag that was super cute, and a play folder, which was sort of my original thought behind the paper dolls.
Yeah.
So I really thought those were super cute. And then the apparel that I designed, Chris Marchini of Rose City Originals created the mock-ups for those. So he did a bomber jacket as well as a t-shirt. And he also did the fridge magnets, where you could use the very thin magnets to make the little cutouts for your kids to play with on the refrigerator, which I simply thought was adorable.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. Tell me a little bit more about that play folder as well.
So the play folder, it folds out and it's like sort of a bedroom scene with a dresser where you can place the clothes to hold on to them. And the whole thing's created like out of a felt. And then you can just play with the dolls there. Again, you can cut them out of whatever skin color you want them to be. There's a little wig stand, so you could put the different hair there and you can just dress them up. Like, I did when I was a little girl. It's just super cute.
Yeah, that is so cute. And I can just imagine, like, if you have the AccuQuilt cutting system, you can get these dies and you can make something for your kids or your grandkids, and they can just play for hours on end. And even if they are using the clothes die or the paper doll die, they can also even cut out their own little things to add to that as well. It's like it sparks their imagination, right?
Exactly. We had so many ideas of from some of the people who were at QuiltCon. Like, a few were like, I'd really like for there to be a male or child size ones for the dolls. And, you know, they were like, well, we can make it shorts. We'll just take the pants die and cut them off. And I'm like, that's ingenious. Then it's, you know, shorts. If you want to take the t-shirt and cut it shorter, then it's a crop top. If you want to cut the dress in half, it can be a skirt and a top. Like,
yeah,
you can do whatever you want with it. So I you have the base with the doll, and then you can just go from there.
Yeah. So did I give you a chance to shout out everyone who made some samples?
Yes, for the samples, but I did want to give a shout out to @AbbyGorilla, @AbbyGorilla, Abby Gorilla on TikTok, who did the 50th birthday card with the dies, because I just think that's super cute and everybody should go check it out.
Yeah, super fun. Okay, that's great. And then, of course, Chris Marchini is really big on TikTok at Rose City Originals. So it's super fun that these creators are seeing your new dies and they're excited to make something with them. So that's fun in itself. And the first creator you mentioned was Brianna Roberts, right? @BriannaRoberts71 on Instagram, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how did it feel the first time you had your dies in your hand? You'd sent them in, you'd done the work, you'd created this fun project. How did it feel the first time you saw them?
Oh my gosh, it was so exciting, because knowing that I had designed it and sent it off, and we did do a couple of iterations back and forth, but when they actually sent it to me and it was in my hands, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is real, it's happening. We actually ended up doing another iteration for the paper doll die. And so when that one came back, they had actually finalized the packaging as well, because the first one was just sent generic. But seeing my face and my little bio on the back of it just made it, I was ecstatic. I was making everybody in my house look at it. They were not as impressed, but I was so excited about it. They were excited just for me, but they didn't really understand what the dies did at the time. And so I had to go through explaining all of that, but it was a very happy day.
Yeah, yeah. So if you think back, I mean, to yourself as a little girl with the dolls that you played with, why is this project so important to you?
It's just exactly what you said about being able to express your creativity. And it sort of brings everything together for me. The playing with the dolls as a child, being in fashion sewing now as an adult, sort of combining that little bit of engineering about, like, putting the puzzle pieces together is also in there. And so it's just very me. And my main concern was, it was so personal to me. Would other people get it? So I was very relieved and excited when attending QuiltCon and interacting with AccuQuilt users, that they were able to say that they were also excited and they would share with me their ideas of how they planned on using the dies. And some of those were things I'd never thought of. And I think that's really the most exciting thing, is to see others create something with something that you dreamed up in your head. It's really satisfying.
So what's fun for you right now? What are you working on in your studio?
Right now, I am moving towards spring sewing. So I am super excited about that, because though winter projects can be nice and challenging, you know, wool coats are heavier things that you can, of course, layer in the cooler weather. There's something to me about the satisfaction of quicker projects and light, flowy things like dresses, tank tops, and shorts that I just really enjoy making. So we're moving into my favorite part of the year here. And we have an event coming up in the Atlanta area, the Atlanta Frocktails, which will be May 4th. And the theme this year is like garden tea party. And so I am working towards sewing something for that event, although I don't have that quite nailed down. I have too many ideas in my head. So we'll see what I come up with, but it's definitely going to be something that fits into that garden tea party theme.
Yeah, well, that sounds like fun. It's April now. That's coming up in May. You have a tight deadline, but I encourage people to go check out your Instagram so they can see what you come up with in the end. So Frocktails obviously means that you're having cocktails, enjoying the party, but you're wearing a dress, right?
Yeah, so it is. I actually don't know who started it, but several cities have this event throughout not only the country, but the world. I think there's some in some of the European cities as well. And it just requires someone to decide that they want to host and put on the event. And other companies come in and they act as sponsors, of course. There's often like door prizes and giveaways and things like that. But the real goal is that so many sewists might love to make a frock, right? Mm-hmm. A fancy dress. But how many of us really have a semi-formal event to attend if you don't have a wedding, you know, coming up in your family? So this is just an event to make your most elaborate, fanciest, or just most personal make that you want to make. Often they do have a theme, but, you know, within that theme, you can stretch the limits, right? And it's just a fun way to make something a little extra, a little extravagant to be able to wear and then show off to other sewists who share the same excitement about, oh, what did you make? Where did you get that fabric? What kind of seam did you use? So it's a night of fun.
Okay, so now it's time for the lightning round robin. It's a series of rapid fire questions and it's super fun. Are you ready?
Probably not, but I'm going to be.
You're ready. You're good. Okay. What is your favorite tool or notion?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think for a long time, I really avoided buttons. So I love my hand press for attaching snaps.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And what motivates you to get out of bed in the morning?
Aside from paying bills, my family.
Okay. And what is a skill that you'd still love to learn?
Oh, there's so many. I really want to learn to knit this year.
Knitting's a good one. Okay. And do you have any favorite collections of any kind in your home?
I don't know about favorite, but I have a bad habit about buying journals. Oh. And then them being so pretty that I don't want to write in them. And then I buy another journal and then I don't write in that one either.
Okay. Do you have another favorite hobby besides sewing?
Yes. My other hobby, which again, splitting time, is roller skating. And it's something I definitely picked up during the pandemic and fell back in love with from childhood.
Yeah. And I think I saw a blog post about something to do with roller skating. Was that a make or were you just talking about roller skating that time?
There were both. I'd made quite a few outfits just to skate in because in the skating community, we were skating outdoors. It was the pandemic and we would literally have theme nights. So there was often something that needed to be made for a skating event.
Oh, that is so fun. And it's the old school roller skates, right? It's not rollerblades.
Yep. Old school quads. So fun.
Okay. What is your proudest accomplishment in your sewing world?
Oh, gosh, that one's so hard. I think the story that I told earlier about the other young lady who was like, I sew because I saw you sew.
Oh, the black and blue dress, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any furry friends in your studio?
Yes. The only person who is readily allowed to come down here is definitely the dog.
Oh, he's not a person. Let's say that again.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Okay. So the only one, I guess, the only one is, okay, go ahead, start again.
Yes, the only living creature that's freely allowed in the sewing space is my puppy. And he's allowed to come down here, but even he can get kicked out.
Okay, and what about family members? Are they allowed to come in there?
If there's a request, like I occasionally sew things for my daughter and she has to come in just for fitting, but they don't get to linger.
Okay, so what kind of puppy is it and what's his name?
He's Juno and he is about 5. He is a rescue puppy and he is a terrier mix.
Oh, how sweet. Oh, good. Well, thank you for braving the lightning round, Robin. That was fun. So I've mentioned your website at tipsstitchedwiththeed.com where we can find everything that you offer. But where's the best place for quilters to connect with you on social media?
I am primarily on Instagram, but I am building up my presence on YouTube. And then, of course, I am also on TikTok and Facebook. And the good news is I am at tipstitched on all of them. No need to remember multiple names.
Okay, that's so great. Easy to find. So be sure to go on over there and follow as well. Like we're always going to see all these wonderful creators. I want you to follow as well. So go and check her out and follow. If you like it. And if you love it, follow. Okay, so now as we wrap up, Tiffany, what do you want people to take away most from our conversation today?
The thing that I want people to take away most is try something new. If you've wanted to sew, if you wanted to quilt, if you wanted to knit, whatever you think your interest may lie, give it a shot. There's no time like the present. The only thing that I regret in my sewing journey is not starting sooner. And there's nothing wrong with adding new things. I sew primarily apparel, but I'm going to be trying my hand at quilting, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, it's just fabric.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing from you is, what if it turns out better than you ever imagined, right?
Exactly. We always consider what's the worst thing that can happen, but what's the best thing that can happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Tiffany, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
So that was my show with Tiffany Turner. One great takeaway from this episode was the value of how she actively participates in sew-alongs with the Black Sewing Network. You could find joy and support in a cause that's near and dear to your heart by finding or even planning events like this near you. Tiffany values the sense of community and the shared experience these types of things offer. And I love that she encourages her community to ease their stress by finding joy in the process of sewing. It's doing the work. It's trying things new, like she just said. So I think that's so important. And I loved sharing her story with you today. Quilter on Fire is now on YouTube. I started up all new content at the end of 2023, and I've been having so much fun. From tutorials to unboxings and amazing interviews with quilters and artists at big shows like the IQF Houston or QuiltCon, you'll find all kinds of quilty goodness. If you love this podcast, please go subscribe to Quilter on Fire on YouTube today. And finally, the Square One Textile Art Workshop is now available on demand. You can sign up anytime. You'll learn 6 fiber art techniques and create an art quilt start to finish. It's an on-demand course to take on your own time anytime, and you'll have it forever in your student portal. And if you've bought this course before, go back and check it out, because I've changed all the original replays to brand new videos. You're going to love it, and you get it forever with your original purchase. At only $37, it's a great deal. So go to quilteronfire.com to sign up for the Square One Textile Art Workshop today. Thank you for listening to the Quilter on Fire podcast. Until next time, dream big and have fun in the studio with the Quilter on Fire.